on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? I hope you've enjoyed some of the nice weather that we've had here recently. We're back on YoteCast, so if it's a colder day when you pull this up, then you could just, hang out and listen to YoteCast and wait for that next nice day. The weather's been crazy for what we've had here lately. But, hey, we'll take what we can get. You deal with what you're given, and you move on and move forward. Speaking of moving forward, boy, the basketball season's just crazy to think about this. They are closing up in a hurry. We've got 3 weeks left of the regular season, including this week. And in just under a month, or about a month's time, we will be in Sioux Falls for the Summit League Basketball Tournament. It's coming very, very quickly, so make your plans now for the Summit League Tournament and the rest of the home games. Help the Yotes finish strong here, both men and women. The women still battling for that top spot in the Summit League Tournament, and of course the men are battling for as high a position as they can reach. And we talk about it with Todd Lee all the time, that right now teams are looking at the standings. They're trying to figure out how many wins they need to get to a certain position. You know, you want to, maybe if you're not going to be number one or number two, you want to find your way onto Sunday and play in the first round. But you just got to, at the end of the day, win as many basketballs as you can. And as they say, the rest will take care of itself. And don't forget, we'll talk about this coming up towards the end of the podcast, but boy, we've got softball starting, women's golf has got underway, it is exciting, men's golf is set to begin as well. So if you didn't see, the women's golf team opened up at the Texas State Invitational, they finished in ninth place. Danica Berdura led the way for the Yotes. She finished her three rounds at, I think, at a tie for 11th is what it was individually. She continues to golf at a high level, and we'll continue to see her have success throughout the season. Lark Jensen, I think, was around 30th, 31st, somewhere in there, and she'll continue to golf at a high level. And we'll see some others step up as well. The early season golf, you got to get into, pun intended, the swing of things, if you will. And so the women's golf team, they'll be off this upcoming week, and then they'll be in action the following weekend in Arizona. So we'll keep an eye on all that. And, of course, swimming and diving championships are next week. So follow along on that. We'll see if the Yotes can find a way to win Summit League championships in swimming and diving. That's coming up next week in West Fargo, North Dakota. So we'll keep an eye on all that as we get through the championship season for winter sports and the beginning of the season for spring sports. Coming up in the show today, we are going to talk to a former South Dakota football and basketball player who is currently the head athletic trainer for the San Francisco 49ers. That's Dustin Little. He spent 5 years with the Denver Broncos and then got this opportunity with the San Francisco 49ers. We'll talk a little bit about his time with USD. We will talk a lot about his time in the National Football League and what it has meant to him on this, getting into this spot, a head athletic training position in the National Football League. So that's coming up here in just a little bit, but let's get it started with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota.
David, I know this past weekend, the South Dakota Showdown Series didn't go quite the way we had hoped. A couple of really good basketball games, though, with the women in a close 10-point loss at Brookings and the men in about the same in Vermilion. Some really, really competitive basketball games and kind of what you expect anymore, and a really good crowd on hand Saturday.
Really, really good basketball games. You want to go into those and you want to win. I mean, let's be honest, that's why they do it. I mean, that's why they practice and put it in. And when you've got a game that's a rivalry game, it certainly means more. I think you looked at those two games, and certainly that's a prelude to what the type of basketball that you're going to see at the Summit League tournament. And both really good games. I mean, of course, they'd be better games if, when you win. Yeah. But we all know that, right? but nonetheless, I thought the crowds were great. I mean, we had a great crowd here, over 4,200 for the men's game. So that part was really good to see, especially to have everybody, you know, in those numbers coming back for a game like this. I mean, those are the most people that we've seen for a basketball game in over 2 years.
Yeah.
So that was really good to see. It's nice to see a full student section to see them and the Coyote Crazies kind of engaged and going at it. So there's definitely a lot of buzz. Now you lose those games, but as we realize, you know, there are certain ones you circle, but it doesn't define the season because now we got the next game and the next game and the next game that are the most important games up for us.
Yeah, well, I'll keep plugging through the season. You know, on Saturday, there were a lot of basketball shots taken in Brookings and in Vermillion, and perhaps the best shot of the night came at halftime of the men's game. Mary Margaret Bohr made a shot for $10,000, a student at USD. Were you standing there watching that when she let it go? I mean, it didn't seem like too many people. A lot of times at halftime, people go to the concessions in the bathroom. There were a lot of people still in their seats.
No, I was right there, right by the courtside seating. So, as Jaron Duffy, our assistant AD for marketing, was getting it all lined up, and I'm like, well, let's stay here and watch this. And so Kelly and I, my wife and I, are watching it, and she's, you know, they're doing the talk and pregame, and she's got the ball, and I'm like, well, let's hope she gets it there, right? And sure enough, she takes about two dribbles, does her little run-up, and launches it. And when she first launched it, the way it kind of came off, I'm like, yeah, I hope that gets there. And it's going, and it's going. Sure enough, backboard and in. And I'm just, hands went up in the air. I'm like, I was about to rush her, and then I knew I'd scare the crap out of her. She saw me running at her. Can you imagine me running at her with my arms up in the air? But then all the students kind of came and mobbed her a little bit, and those things are just beautiful. And to watch it in person is a lot more fun. And certainly that video has probably gotten well over 100,000 views right now. It's just kind of gone everywhere, and I've seen national folks from all over the country kind of pick that thing up. So fun for the students, and that's what I would say. And we should probably try that every game for the students. Maybe hopefully you get more here to stay, right? But a lot of fun. I wish we could have made more shots like that during the game.
No kidding. And you know, it's crazy because we've seen these go viral from other schools, but to see it happen right here in front of us, that's pretty crazy.
Well, and I will tell you this, that is not an easy shot if you think about from straight on, just to make it in general, right? But straight on, backboard and in, I mean, it was a clean, after it hit that backboard, clean it, that's not easy to do.
And $10,000 on the line and over 4,000 people sitting there watching you. I mean, you would have been nervous, I think. Could you make that shot if we went there? We need this to be a video podcast so we could go out there right now and see if you can make
we
that
should.
Shot.
We should do that. Now, we might be there for a while.
Yeah.
So true story. So we used to, back in college, we do the basketball camp circuit during the summers, right? And there was kind of there was about four or five of us that we worked basketball camps all across the state of Virginia at the various colleges. And you just kind of, it was just something to do in the summer. But literally once, you know, when all the campers, whether it's lunch or they go, we just literally would be in the gym doing like half court hook shots and just some of that crazy stuff. And it, surprisingly enough, when you do them enough, you can actually, you make more than you think you might. But no, not if you ask me right now, my first hope would be that I at least get it and touch rim and not just all backboard or just don't airball it. So yeah, that's next on our agenda. That's all our next podcast. Not podcast, we'll make something else go viral.
We better do a video to see if the AD can replicate the shot. We'll see if you can get it close. All right, this week the women's basketball team is back home for a couple of games. They play Omaha on Thursday evening and then Denver on Saturday afternoon. Yep. And you know, this week there's a couple of really neat things to celebrate this week with women's basketball, in addition to just celebrating their success on the floor and whatnot. Let's start with the pink game and the pink auction, which is coming up this week with the jersey sales. And I know that the women's basketball team during this will wear white jerseys and shorts with pink numbers and the pink trim and all of that. But also there's a jersey auction going on. Mm-hmm. And that's always the numbers of the seniors that are on the team.
Right. and we've been doing this, did you already say that, about 5 years now? So all the proceeds, all the proceeds go to the Dakota Hospital Foundation here in Vermilion, and it's a partnership with Sanford Vermilion. They help us not only with the uniforms, but then all the money that's raised, we turn back to the foundation. And I know they've got several different initiatives that they're trying to help fundraise for, and this is just one mechanism. I think it's a perfect partnership to not only take something of the pink game, but then also utilize that pink game to give back. And so you can go to the website. There'll be a mechanism by there's a story right now on the front page. You can click through that. It'll take you to the actual auction website, so you can kind of get in there and start putting your bid on the four jerseys. And right now it would be Chloe's jersey, Liv's jersey, Hannah's jersey, and maybe Reagan Sankey's jersey. So you got four jerseys, number 2, 14, being tested here, 22, and Hannah's 34.
Yep.
God, I got a good memory.
You got him.
But no, I think that it's a great opportunity to support not only our women's basketball team, but the Dakota Hospital Foundation and many of the women's initiatives that the Hospital Foundation engages in.
How important is it for you in your position to have this partnership with the Dakota Hospital Foundation, somebody local, and just continue to connect the community?
I think it's key. I mean, certainly our relationship with Sanford runs deep in so many different ways, and they're not a sponsor, they're more of a partner. On the ground here in our community, to be able to partner with Sanford Vermilion and ultimately the Dakota Hospital Foundation to really help promote and fund projects that are going to benefit Vermilion. And I think that's just one avenue that we can do it, and this partnership really symbolizes and embodies that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, the other celebration this week, Saturday morning, I think this is a really cool opportunity for young ladies in the area to come out, and it's National Women and Girl in Sports Day. Of course, that was last week, but we're celebrating it this week because there is a women's basketball game, and the opportunity for some of these young girls to go to a clinic and have an opportunity to spend some time with some USD student athletes.
Yeah, speaking as somebody who's got three daughters, this is an extremely important day. I think it's really something to celebrate and realize that, for some of us, the only time girls got to play any type of sports was in gym class. And a lot of times it was something different than what the boys played. And so to see where it is now, and I think it is something that we should celebrate. I mean, those of us that have daughters that, have some opportunities that, we never had, or certainly my parents never had, that we you can sometimes take it for granted. So we can celebrate it, and we can really, get to these young girls at such an early age. And right now, this is open for kindergarten through eighth grade. We'll have different stations all set up, different activities for them. It's free to come in. I think registration opens up at 10:30. It runs from 11 to noon. There'll be a little pizza party after that up in the West Concourse of the Dome. And then after that, the idea was for those that still want to stick around, we can have them down on the court or near the, to help welcome the women's basketball team when they come on the court. So, you think about our women's basketball team, they'll take their, the court on Saturday. They all have that opportunity because of something like this. And so it's really great to celebrate them all together.
Yep, and a free youth ticket with all that, so the kids can go to the game. And I know we've seen this before. This is obviously, they've been doing this for a few years with this clinic, but our female student athletes love doing these clinics and these stations with these young kids, getting them involved in different sports.
Right. It's really fun to give back. It's an opportunity, for all of our female athletes that do volunteer here and have, can, or whether they're in town or not. But they can all see themselves in those little girls, and their eyes just light up when the athletes come around, and just to engage them, and just some of the best interactions are some of the ones with that are spontaneous that happen throughout this whole thing. So I think it's really beneficial for both to be able to partake in something like this.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the really cool things that happened this weekend, I think it was, which was a USD connection, happened in, of course, the pole vault. Go figure, because a lot of success in USD pole vault. But how about Chris Nelson? I know you saw his video. I can't remember where he was at, but he jumped a record jump and really had a cool viral moment for him here this weekend.
Right. It's, you know, so Chris jumps, you know, I think it's actually like 6.02 meters. So in terms you and I can understand, that's 19 feet 9 inches, right? But that's not only personal best for him, it set an American record. So he broke the American record, set the American record, and right now it's the second highest jump in the world, only to Mondo Duplitis, who he's been battling forever, and he's got him by a quarter inch. So anyway, that's just watching the jump, and it reminded me back when, as he was competing in the Olympics, and just, you know, he set a personal best there. But you clear that bar, and think about that. You clear the bar, and you know that you've cleared the bar, and he still has a couple seconds to drop with that feeling before he hits the ground, you know, before he hits the pole vault pit, that it's just, he's on top of the world right now. And it's just talking to him about his experience in the Olympics and some of the things that he's done, he goes, that fall down is the best in the world. Yeah.
Just a free fall. You know, what's crazy about Chris Nelson, and we've watched his success, and he spent a lot of time here and had a great success at USD. It doesn't feel like that long ago we were hearing about this big recruit that USD was bringing in, this pole vaulter from the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. And we thought he could be something special, but I don't know how many people saw this. His hard work has really paid off.
It really has. And, you know, Chris deserves a ton of the credit for certainly putting in the time, but this coaching staff deserves probably even more credit for putting up with him. But mentoring him along the way, coaching him along the way, helping him grow up along the way. He matured so much here athletically and academically and certainly and socially. But it was, you know, it's fun to watch him when you see him and you meet him as a recruit. So they're, you know, a junior or senior in high school, and then you watch him graduate, and then you hug them when they come home because they got a silver medal around their neck. I mean, that's, you know, you bring in that stuff full circle, but those things can happen, and the great thing is they can happen here.
Yeah, really, really cool. Well, we are in that time period right now where some sports are beginning, some sports are coming to an end. Let's talk about one that's just getting underway. I know women's golf got underway this week. They were down in Texas. And men's golf, they get their season underway this upcoming week as well. And you know what? I'm pretty sure softball is getting their season underway here very soon as well. So USD just full of spring sports. They seem they're not in full go yet, but we are getting a lot of these sports underway here for the spring season.
Yeah, and I know by the time this thing, we probably air this, you know, the women's tournament this weekend in Texas will already be done, but we don't know the results of that one yet. And then softball will be down in Texas this weekend, and then men are on the road then as well, and they take off this weekend and compete next Monday and Tuesday. So yeah, we look at those three that actually get to start their spring seasons, and maybe it kind of seems normal with the way the weather that we've had at least the last couple of days that we're thinking spring already, but it's good to get those things kind of off and going, and then yeah, as we think about those, and we still have winter championships left to wrap up as we kick these things off.
Well, one sport that's really set to really close in on wrapping up its season next week is the swimming and diving championships. Those are being competed at, I forget where they're at actually, but swimming diving championships are coming up next week, and I know that's almost a week-long event. They start on Wednesday and go through the weekend.
Yeah, so swimming and diving, what, February 16th through the 19th, it's up in Fargo, or actually, I thought it was actually West Fargo. West Fargo. So, February 16th through the 19th. So they'll take off next week, and then about the same time that we've got about two more weeks until track and field heads up to Grand Forks for the indoor track and field championships, and that's Friday, Saturday. So that's what, February 25th and 26th.
Yep.
We start to gear up for those. The winter season start to wrap up, and then each one will have national, you know, between regions and nationals after that. But it's hard to think of those things starting to come to a close. But then it's only about another week and a half later after that that the Summit League League basketball tournament kicks off, and we'll crown a champion on that one as well.
We're only about 3 weeks away from that. Isn't that kind of crazy? The basketball season's flying by. Slow down a little bit, huh?
Right. I don't want it to be over, but then it's okay. So then it is. Once you get to March, I mean, you got a whole month of basketball in March, or a whole month. Yeah, and so we can. But again, you don't ever want, you know, those players, they don't want it to end.
Nope, they don't. And we've got a lot of time in between now and then. So hopefully a lot more success coming up. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciated, as always.
Okay, so I'm going to. Next time we get together, we need to throw our. We need to go out to half court and see how.
Video camera?
And so we need to make sure both. Me taking a shot and you taking a shot, and we'll see how many times it takes. Whoever makes the shot first gets to actually interview the other one for the next podcast.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
All right, thanks, David.
All right, thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletics director at the University of South Dakota. If you have a question for David Herbster, please submit it either by emailing yotecast@usd.edu, or you can submit to any of our social media posts that we put out. Reach out to me directly. However, we'll get your questions asked to the big fella, David Herbster. So get your questions in each and every week. All right, time now to turn our attention to a former Coyote football player and basketball player. Played a tremendous basketball career. Played 1 year of football. And that is Dustin Little, who's currently the head athletic trainer for the San Francisco 49ers. Dustin, you just wrapped up another season as part of an NFL franchise, and you know we were talking about this. You just go through the season, and I know it gets to be a grind at times, and then boom, it's all over. What has the last week or two been like for you as the season comes to a close?
Yeah, you know, I think we kind of talked about it, but it's one of those things where, I mean, you're working here every day since training camp started back in July, and then you know. Us, the team, everybody puts in so much work for those months in a row, and you get to the end and, you know, you're thankful to get to the playoffs and you win some close games. And then, you know, this last game is just one of those things where everything was going right for us, and all of a sudden it turns at the end and you're just kind of shocked because, I mean, once the season's over, it's the train hits a stop. Everybody get off. It's time to go home. And it's just been so – it's always weird at the end of the season because you're there's no weekly schedule out. There's no practice to cover. There's no guys, you know, we still have some longer term treatments, but the guys are gone. And so you kind of look around, you got a little bit of time to reflect on the year. And we're obviously thankful for where we got to, but you're also, you know, bittersweet ending there where you're hoping to be in the next game. There's only one more to go. So, you know, it's a lot of different emotions, but you're thankful and you're kind of at the same time, you're kind of missing out though. You know, you always want to go to the next one. You want to win the next one. But as we say, at the end of the year, there's 31 teams that aren't happy with the final result.
Yeah, no doubt. And you like you said, it comes to an end quickly. So you talked about being there basically every day since training camp began. So what does it look like for you now with almost everybody out of the building? Kind of what do you do here over the next, couple of months before anybody returns to any kind of in-person work?
Yeah, no, I get this question a lot because I actually don't think a lot of people do know what we do. And typically this week we put together a lot of our end-of-season stuff. We review stuff with coaches and players in terms of, you know, where guys are at in terms of health status and availability. And then, you know, there's some off-season surgeries and rehabs going on. A lot of our time now is we're finishing up with the guys who are on the roster in terms of rehab, getting guys set up for appointments. We're treating guys who are longer term rehabs. And then we're kind of shifting our mindset to, all right, how do we get better for next year? What improvements are we going to make? How do we get better as an individual, as a staff, and how do we help out and treat the players better? And, we have the combine coming up in 3 weeks. So we're getting ready to do our combine stuff in terms of gathering data and helping as far as formulating that data and getting it to the decision makers regarding the combine players. And then a lot of the time after the combine, it's a lot of data stuff in terms of reviewing information, coordinating information, and putting it together for a concise format for the people who need it as far as the decision makers in the organization. And throughout that process, you're always working in terms of, you know, we have some rehab players here doing rehab with us and trying to get them so that they can be ready and available as soon as they can be. And then off-season program is going to start up here in the middle of April again. So There's honestly not too much time. I'll get a week off here this month and a week off next month. And once the guys get back, we'll hit the ground running.
Dustin Little, my guest. He is, of course, a former Coyote and the head athletic trainer for the San Francisco 49ers. Dustin, we'll work back to your NFL career that you're involved with now, but go back to your time at South Dakota. Obviously had a tremendous basketball career, even played football for a year. When you think back to your time at USD, little under 20 years ago, what do you remember the most? What stands out to you?
Yeah, you know what's weird is the joke this year was Tom Compton and I were actually teammates back at USD for a year. And so it was kind of funny because everyone's like, what do you mean? Like, you and Tom Compton were teammates? Like, what are the chances of that ever happening? Is two guys from USD being on the same NFL team one day? Obviously, he's playing, I'm not. But I was telling Trent Williams that one time and he couldn't believe it. But to me, it's amazing because your mind doesn't realize how long ago that really was. I can still envision being there playing. You know, I remember playing football for a year and enjoying that, and obviously playing basketball for four, going to PT school there. Like, I have a lot. I mean, I was there for 8 years. I did 5 years of undergrad with the sports stuff and 3 years to get my doctorate. I got a lot of good memories at USD, and I just remember, you know, how fun it was, you know, the stuff and the relationships with the players that you knew, the people that you met there, met my wife there. So there's a lot of stuff, I think, you know, USD and just for me in my life, like a lot of relationships and time there that I remember well, and a lot of good memories. I talked a lot to Tom Compton this year about stuff and, just reminiscing about the good old days.
How crazy is that just for you personally to get the chance to work with somebody like Tom Compton? He's now been in the league for 10 years and keeps finding a way to carve out a career here. What has been your relationship with him as you two have been able to work together here?
Yeah, no, me and Tom, we got a great relationship, obviously knowing each other from there, which at the end of the day, the NFL level, it's – from a medical standpoint, it's about the trust you have in those guys. So for me and Tom to know each other and have that relationship, it creates a bond and a trust between us. And it's something that it's easy to work together because we both know each other and we both trust each other. And you can have free conversations and everything that goes with that. And Tom's a great dude. And the good thing about Tom is he's been pretty healthy and he takes care of himself. He's a true professional. I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago just about the NFL, and he's been on, I think, 5 or 6 different teams. And, you know, he explains it how, when I first got to the league, they explained it the same way. There's 32 different NFLs. There's one, but that's 32 teams, and you get an experience. The experience is different in each team. And so the 49ers are a great organization, and Tom expressed the same thing. Like, this is a great organization to be a part of. It's a great experience to have, and not every NFL team is the same. And I'm thankful to be with the 49ers, with a great organization, with a great group of people from a performance staff and a medical staff that we can do a good job at what we do and continually try to improve and get better at, treating the players and taking care of the organization.
When did you know that you wanted to work in the NFL and maybe take your career that way? Or how did that process kind of work itself out that eventually led you to the Denver Broncos?
Yeah. When I was in high school, I played sports growing up. I'd get hurt a lot, which is kind of your cliche line. And I just, there's the people that I worked with that, they tried to get me back to playing. They tried to help me out. And I enjoyed the process of that. And so, when I got to college, I was trying to do some athletic training at South Dakota and the degree was dropped at the time. And I knew at that point, I knew a couple contacts in the NFL just from growing up in South Dakota. Nate Bresky was with the Niners, oddly to say at the time. He was an assistant. And I was talking to him about, hey, I want to get into healthcare. I want to do some PT, physical therapy. And, I kind of like athletic training too. He's like, well, what you need to do is, get dual credential, create some value when teams see you, right? Have some value on your resume to say that you can do some multiple things. And so I went to PT school for 3 years, and then I actually went to South Dakota State for 2 to get my athletic training degree. And for me, it was all about, I enjoyed the challenge And the challenge of basically working with professional level athletes, in the sense of you have to challenge yourself to be able to work with them. And you have to constantly be looking to improve. You have to constantly be on what you got to be on your stuff, basically. And you got to be competent. And to me, it was an evolving process of, you're never going to get there, but you always got something to work for. And to me, that was what I enjoyed most about it, was the challenge of that process. And it's something that keeps me going today is, we're doing some reviews with people today, and I'm just asking ourselves and my staff, well, how do we get better? You know what I mean? How do we do a better job? How do we do a better job of taking care of these guys? I think we do a good job right now, but you always have to seek to get better. Our head coach says the same thing. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. So it's our job to keep getting better and keep finding better ways to take care of people.
You had got your opportunity with the Denver Broncos. I think you spent five years there, some different positions throughout that, eventually elevating to assistant athletic trainer. What do you feel like you learned in your time with the Broncos that readied you for this opportunity in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I learned when I was with the Denver Broncos, I worked under a guy, Steve Antonopoulos. He's known as Greek. He was the head athletic trainer there when I first got there. Then he got promoted to the director of sports medicine, and Vince Garcia became the head athletic trainer. So, I credit those guys a lot. And, Greek ended up going for 45 years. He finally retired this offseason. And, the opportunity to come in and learn from a guy like him, who had the experience, had been there for 40 years at the time. He's a mentor of mine. He's a guy who taught me, a lot about how the NFL works, how taking care of the players, how important it is, how important, ultimately, we're here to win Super Bowls and we're here to take care of the players. And we need to make sure that we stay focused and we stay disciplined on what we need to do and always try to get better, always try to provide a better service. And he taught me so much about, not only the skill set to be in a training room, the skill set when you're on the field, but like how to work with players, how to work with coaches, how to develop relationships and really how to let people know that you care for them and you want the best for them. And so I owe a ton to him. And honestly, if I hadn't worked for him, I don't think I'd be here. He's a guy who taught me so much and gave me the opportunity, and he helped me, help me grow into this role and teach me how to get there and motivate me along the way and challenge me. And so, had it not been for him out there, who knows where I'd be, but he definitely has a big part of why I'm here.
You obviously went there for a job. Did it take a while for you? I'm sure people wonder this. Did it take a while for you to get rid of the starstruckness? Because you're around some big name athletes that you either grew up knowing their name or watching them play, or even some young talent now that are coming into the league. Did it take a while for you to adapt to that and just realize, wow, this is my world now?
Yeah, I've been asked that question before, and I think, like I've always said, is that, my first day there, I was a summer intern. I was working 5 weeks just as an internship during the summer, helping out with training camp. And you get there and you see the guys, and obviously you see the guys on TV, and Peyton Manning was there at the time. And I remember seeing Peyton Manning thinking, wow, that's Peyton Manning. But then once you get there and you get going about your duties and your job, and you realize that, once you meet these guys, you realize they're normal people. They're just on a different scale, but they're still like you and me in the sense of like, they're good guys. And they're here because they love playing football. And, it's your job to help in terms of guiding them along the way if they do get injured or if they need some help. And that's where you do your role, right? Everybody has a role on a team. And so you provide a role to them and you help them out and you have their best interest at heart. And what you realize is that once you get to know these guys like George Kittle, they're good dudes. You get to know them on a personal level and all you try to do is help them out. Like, you don't become starstruck, I guess. It's more of a, you get a relationship with these guys and they get a relationship with you. And all you're really trying to do is help them out and guide them to be and get them back to where they want to be.
Do you find it being a challenge? Athletes, they want to get back on the field and play typically as soon as possible. Coaches want them back in the mix. Do you find that a challenge to when you have to hold them out, or in the NFL, is this something that these guys just have to respect and understand your professional opinion?
Yeah, you know, and I think what we do is it's a challenge. And what you try to do is you try to take opinions out and you try to prove to the athlete they either can't or they can play. So, you know, if you think a guy is going to come off an ankle sprain and just show up on Sunday and you're going to work him out for 20 minutes, you know, you're going to probably have an unsuccessful return for that guy. But if you have a process put into place where you continue to check off important things along the way, you're going to determine pretty fast with the help of, you know, other people. Obviously, we all work together and getting the coaches involved, that you're going to make a good decision on a guy about whether or not he can play. We like to do things in terms of when we have guys and we're really trying to determine if a guy can play, you know, we're not just going to base it off of an opinion or a conversation. It's going to be a, you have to prove it to me and you have to prove that you can be functional and you can last four quarters. Because you only get 48 guys up on a game day. And if somebody goes down early, you only may have one backup for them. So we try to make those decisions calculated and not opinion-based, but more objective. And I think that's helped us out a lot. And I think coaches enjoy it. Our coaches respect that when a guy can either prove he can play or prove he can't play. And you try to allow other people to help out in that decision-making process. It all doesn't fall on me. And that's when you think you get the best result for the player and for the organization.
I tried to do some math in my head, but if I've got this right, you made your way to head athletic trainer of the San Francisco 49ers in less than 10 years since you got done with graduating and all the school that you ended up having to go through to get yourself ready. What did that moment mean to you when you got that opportunity in San Francisco and realizing, wow, this is a real thing?
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that, you know, I worked for a long time. And I think for me, it's something where I've been focused on what I wanted to do. And I've been very calculated in how I do stuff. And I think that's what I give advice when I do talks to, like, you know, South Dakota State or USD. I talk to some of their programs. And a lot of the younger kids ask me is, you know, how did you end up getting there? Like, what's the process like? And to me, it's, you know, and I talk to my interns a lot here is, you know, you got to have a specific plan on what you're going to do on a day-to-day basis. That's going to get you somewhere where you want to be and how many years it's going to take you. So when I was at Denver, you know, my first year there, I spent the whole first year just looking around saying, hey, what is this? How does this work? How do I get better at it? And then a couple of years went by and I developed a plan for a couple different things that I needed to get better at. But it's a continual reflection process on where you're at as an individual and where you want to be. And so you guys just got to connect the dots. And the only thing that's going to get you there is a plan and hard work. And so I set out on a daily routine to improve myself. And that's all I can tell people. You can get to wherever you want to go if you have a plan and a process put into place.
Give me all the similarities between San Francisco, California and Castlewood, South Dakota.
Yeah, no, it's a, we better start with summer, not winter, because yeah. In winter there's not a lot. But no, it's interesting out here. When I first got here, I had to live 35. I do live 35 miles away from the facility because the cost of housing out here is crazy. So that's like the only place I could afford is 35 miles away from here to get a house for my family that I actually own. And then, you know, I drive to work at 4 a.m. It takes me 35 minutes. But if I drive home at 3:00 in the afternoon, it takes me 1:15. So it's, you know, it is interesting out here because the housing prices and the traffic, and then, you know, it's pretty cool though. You can drive 1 hour away and watch a Golden State Warriors game. You can go to San Jose Sharks. There's tons of cool stuff. You can go to Napa Valley. You can go to LA. You can go to the beaches out here. So, I mean, we joke because you're paying taxes for the weather and the ability to drive within a few hours to all these places. But man, if it's raining out here, people, they don't want to pay that tax bill you get at the end of the month. So it's kind of interesting.
Do you get a chance maybe now, I don't know, the next month or so, this part of the time of year, I should say, do you ever get a chance to follow USD and keep up with basketball? I know you had a great career, or part of some great teams in the NCC, some of that. Do you get a chance to follow much?
Yeah, no, I actually have. I have on my on my ESPN phone app, I have USD on there. So I'll see the basketball games. I'll see the football games. I was making a joke with Trey Lance when he was in here that when North Dakota State played South Dakota, you know, if we want to put anything on the line here, you know, we were thinking about doing a jersey game because I still got my South Dakota basketball jersey, but I didn't quite like the looks of it when South Dakota was going to North Dakota State, so I never put it on the line. But I still keep tracking through that. Definitely check in just to see where they're at, and I'll usually see the end score. But I don't know too many people who still play, but I do still have a relationship with the guys I played with.
And obviously you played for Coach Boots. What did he mean to you in your college career and trying to get you started in that transition from, you know, living in Castlewood to Vermilion, South Dakota, to wherever the world was going to take you?
Yeah, you know, I think with Coach Boots, I think the biggest thing he did for me was you had to understand that what was at stake, you know what I mean? As far as when I came from a small school and I kind of thought like, hey, I was big man on campus at a small school. And when you got there, it's like, oh, I'm not really, you know, I'm playing, but if I don't play, like if I don't practice well, you know, I didn't quite understand how everything worked right away. Like if you don't practice well, you're not going to play. And to me, it was a lot of life lessons about like how important it is. And same with the players today is like, you know, you got to practice well to play on Sundays. You got to put in the work every day in the sense of how, it's not just one thing to practice. You got to play well. You got to practice well. You know, I always put in the work, but you got to understand how important it is to be, intentional and have a, you know, you got to show up every day and produce, right? At the end of the day, you got to produce. And so learning that at that level, and now it's the same way, like you have to produce at this level and you got to produce at that level. You know, everyone's going to work hard. Everyone's going to do what those type of things, but you actually have to produce. And so to me, that was always a valuable lesson I learned from him. And I think it's carried over to obviously this professional level stuff.
Well, you obviously moved on from great collegiate career to great professional career. Dustin, great stuff. I really appreciate your time. I feel like we could go on for a long time talking about the things that you're doing and some of the experiences you've had, but really appreciate your time. But wish you all the best as you continue in your career at the 49ers and wherever the career may take you.
All right. I'm very thankful and appreciate you having me on. Just say thanks a lot.
He's Dustin Little, the head athletic trainer for the San Francisco 49ers, former Coyote basketball player, played 1 year of football as well. So we'll keep up with his journey throughout his career, but obviously loving what he's doing out in San Francisco with the 49ers. They've had a lot of success here recently, so he's a part of a really good organization right now, really likes the position that he is in. So we'll keep following Dustin Little. Appreciate his time here joining us on the podcast. Don't forget, coming up this week, it is the Pink Game. If you have not already, you can bid on the Pink jerseys. Information for that's available at goyotes.com. Also, if you have a daughter, kindergarten through eighth grade, or someone you know, kindergarten through eighth grade, who may want to participate in Saturday's clinics for National Girl and Women in Sport Day, these young ladies will get the opportunity to work with USD student athletes. They'll take them through some different stations, if you will. There's a pizza party. It's all free. Registration is at 10:30 Saturday morning. You get a free youth ticket to the basketball game as well to watch the Coyote women take on Denver. It's a 1 o'clock tip-off. And, of course, adult tickets are available for purchase as well, so check it out. It'll be fun Saturday. Great way to mix and mingle with USD student athletes and get your young student into a basketball game for free. So check it out. It's all this Saturday. Information is available at goyotes.com. All right, let's check out what's going on in South Dakota athletics. The track and field team is in Topeka, Kansas at the Ichabod Midweek Challenge. That gets underway on Thursday. Also, Thursday, men's basketball is at Omaha. Women's basketball is at home to take on Omaha. Both of those games get underway at 7 o'clock. Then on Friday, the softball team is set to open up their action at the Bearcat Classic in Huntsville, Texas. They'll take on Houston Baptist in game number one, Sam Houston in game number two. Track and field has a group at the SDSU Classic in Brookings as well. That is Friday action. On Saturday, softball still in Huntsville, Texas. They'll take on Dayton at the Bearcat Classic. The women's tennis team will play Memphis in Lincoln, Nebraska. And also coming up on Saturday, softball takes on Wichita State. Women's basketball is at home, 1 o'clock start time against Denver. And the men's basketball team is at Denver. That is a 3 p.m. start time. That's all on Saturday. The basketball games this week, the home games for women's basketball, you can hear them all on the Coyote Sports Network, both men and women. You can watch the women's game on Midcoast Sports this week as well. So check all of that out. And then coming up on Sunday, in Palm City, Florida, the men's golf team will open up their season in the Advanced Partners Intercollegiate in Palm City, Florida. That is a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday event to get the season started. Softball continues in the Bearcat Classic in Huntsville. They'll take on UTSA. That's all coming up on Sunday. Monday, we'll be focusing on men's golf, same with Tuesday, and then next Wednesday is the start of the Summit League Swimming and Diving Championships in Fargo, North Dakota. So check it all out. More information on all of that is available at goyotes.com. Catch a game, match, or meet soon. And ticket information always available at goyotes.com. So check it all out. That's it for us this week. My thanks to Dustin Little and David Herbster for joining the podcast this week. I'm John Thayer. Have a great rest of your weekend. And until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.